our country is in trouble, and Israel, go back to Hosea 10, that's what God is saying about Israel. An empty vine. Notice he says, he bringeth forth fruit unto himself. We should speak truth without pride. And I'll give you some examples, because I don't want anybody to think I'm not patriotic. You go drive by my house, you'll see I got three flags, and I'm getting ready to put a flagpole up and add a couple more. And I'll light them up at night. I will till November at least. But I like this shirt. It's "We the people, not you the government." That's just true. Oh, another one of my shirts. "Stand for the flag, kneel for the cross." Now, I have to admit, somebody bought me those shirts. But I bought a couple of my own that are similar, but I wanted to show these because actually they're better than the ones I bought. Hats on my head. A lot of days I need to cover up to either keep the sun from burning it or keep it from turning into a popsicle. United States of America, established 1776. I see nothing wrong with that at all. I don't see anything wrong with that one either. Make America great again. On my car, little thing says, "In God we trust." There's nothing wrong with that. I'm thankful that we live in a country where we can have that on our coins, even though they're minted by, the mint, they used to be worth something. Now they're worth less than what they're printed on. So, Israel had totally thrown God to the side and become ecumenical. That's what it says in verse 2. "Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images." He's talking about Israel. And the first verse deals with their economic prosperity without giving him the glory. Verse 2, their religious apostasy and what he also calls in other places whoredom. Fornication. God equates you, if you do what George W. Bush, I mentioned earlier, says, that Jesus isn't the only way, good Muslims go to heaven their own way, we're all praying to the same God by many names, which is Freemasonry. God hates it. And about Israel, he says their heart is divided. God hates ecumenical unity and fake religion. That's why I don't go to the ministerial association meetings. I don't take part in the National Day of Prayer. As a matter of fact, I not only don't take part in that, but I think it's a wrong day. What we need in this country is a national day of repentance. We don't need to get together and all hold hands with a bunch of false teachers and pray. That's what they do in National Day of Prayer. You have all the different religions represented. I have no problem with a man choosing his own religion in this country. And I come from a Baptist background. The Baptists were the ones who really originated the idea of freedom of conscience. And Thomas Jefferson, he told the Danbury Association of Baptists in Virginia that we were going to have an amendment protecting freedom of religion, and that he credited the Baptists with bringing that to the New World. John Adams wrote the same thing about the Baptists. You know, we believe in freedom of conscience, but that doesn't change the fact that if you choose wrong, I'm not going to join with you and hold hands. I'm not going to pray and say I'm praying to the same God when you're praying to a false God. I'm not going to join with you when you reject the way, the truth, the life, Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. I'm not going to join with you. But that's what's going on. And National Day of Prayer is one of the worst examples of that going on. And God hates it. Look over I love this in 1 Kings chapter 18. And verse 21, as you turn there, verse 17 says, "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" That's what they'll say about you. But those of us standing for the word of God aren't troubling America. America is troubling God. All we're doing is preaching the truth. And verse 18 says, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Then he tells him to get all the prophets of Baal together and bring them to Mount Carmel. Verse 20, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Carmel. Now Elijah looks at Israel, the people, and he confronts them with their ecumenical religion. And look what he says in verse 21. Read that. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Bunch of cowards and sellouts. And that's, I'm no Elijah, but I am preaching to Elijah's crowd when I preach to the world today, to America. You preach the truth to America today. They are halting between two opinions and they're not willing to take a stand. And Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. The Lord is God. I'm going to follow him. How about you? Amen. Amen. We should love what God loves and hate what God hates. Newsflash, God hates. God loves, but God also hates. If your God is only positive and only loves, you've got an imbalanced psycho for a God. The Bible God is balanced. And he does not love sin. And the Bible says he's angry with the wicked. And he hates workers of iniquity. That's Bible. So why is modern Christianity not quoting the Bible and telling people, you better face the real God? You know why? Because the world wants this papa. You know, they want the Santa Claus up on a cloud playing a harp. You know, the one that winks and says, oh, kids will be kids. He's not holy. That's the kind of God America wants. So they don't want to hear it when you preach what the real God of the Bible is like. And you know what they do? That's all it is. That's all they do. If they're on their phone, that's how, just a swipe or a click and they turn you off. That's what's going on. I want you to look at Psalm 119. Well, we're just going to read one verse tonight. Psalm 119, 104. Look, in verse 103, as you're turning there, says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. He's not just talking about the good, happy, clappy stuff. He means the whole thing. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Why? Well, go back to Revelation 19 when Jesus Christ comes back and kills them all. That's sweet, man. Why? I ain't gonna be here. Anybody who believes on Jesus Christ is not going to be there to be wiped out. We'll observe the wiping out from behind. We're going to watch him wipe it out. And who's he wiping out? A bunch of people who have aligned themselves with Satan and the Antichrist and taken the mark of the beast. Sweet! Amen. Now with that, look at verse 104 and read that with me. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way.
I don't think you should talk bad about other people's religion.
Well, you're stupid. Amen. I just read where God said you're to hate every false way. Amen. Ain't that something? You know, Jessica, there are people who have been Christians for 40 and 50 years and their preachers never told them that. And then it's on them because they should be reading their own Bible and they'd come across it as they get through Psalm 119. Amen. Look back at Hosea 10 now with that groundwork. Verse 3 says, for now they shall say, we have no king, because we fear not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? So they're, you know, they kind of acknowledge that they don't have a king because they were apostates. They have brought the wrath of God on themselves. And then they're like, well, then what could a king do for us anyway? In other words, they have a very revolutionary, rebellious attitude. Now, they say, what good is a king? Well, it's no good when the hearts of the people are wicked. In our country, what good is a constitution? The Constitution was meant for a godly people, according to our founders. That's why a constitution isn't going to save this country unless the people who want to see the Constitution continue as the law of this land stand up, get a spine, and start speaking and voting and doing what's... And I'll tell you this, praying without ceasing for your government, praying without ceasing for your leaders. And preachers get a spine and get up here and inform the people what's going on, because those sad people in the pews are so lacking discernment and judgment that they go home and turn on the news and think they're getting the news. The preacher better be up there to say, you're not getting the news. You're being lied to. And then tell them the truth. You know why they don't? Jesus said it. They're hirelings. A lot of these guys are afraid they'll lose their paycheck. Filling the pews, tickling the ears, keeping the coffers full so that they don't lose their 401k. Overthrowing governments is almost always a horrifically bad thing. We don't have time to go through history, but we'll give you a little idea. Because revolution rarely results in Christ-centered revival. The revolution in the United States of America was not directly a revolution of overthrowing a king, although we did overthrow King George. We were on a completely different continent. And the government in England had set up a government in America under the Articles of Confederation already. So it wasn't quite the same thing as what you see in other countries. But the big thing, the big difference also was that even the people who weren't Christians recognized the need for the Bible and God. And they wanted a religious people because they said this constitution we're writing is only fit for a religious people. Even people like Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin, you read his autobiography, he's not a believer in Jesus Christ. And yet he donated more money to churches than most Christians do. Because he understood that was the backbone of this country. Deist and theist and... Here's just a few examples of you research the revolution that went from Imperial Rome to the papacy. The history of the papacy is the Dark Ages. That didn't really work out the way people had hoped when they made the church state. That's why, again, Baptists and evangelicals across the board are opposed to the state church setup. The French Revolution, they beheaded King Louis XVI. But if you ever read the history of the French Revolution, don't get it mixed up with the American Revolution. If they're twins, then it was like the evil twin and the good twin. The French Revolution, it went through and just killed people. For no reason. Someone would just say, they were speaking against the state. Off with his head. That's all it took. Didn't have to have people, with any kind of real evidence or anything. Just being accused was enough. How many of you ever read The Tale of Two Cities? Charles Dickens? That's the background of that one. And it's pretty... I don't want to give a spoiler, but you ought to read that sometime. If you read the history of the Bolsheviks... The Romanovs were not good, and the Tsar Nicholas II that they overthrew wasn't a good guy. But they went, it's like they say, be very careful what you wish for. You might get it. And when they overthrew Tsar Nicholas II, they reaped the whirlwind. Tens of millions of Russians were killed by their own people. Many millions more were put in concentration gulags. Alexander Solzhenitsyn is one that you can read the account he gave. where he said that they sat in their cells and wept, wishing that instead of just giving up, they had fought back. Because they, in hindsight, they understood when the gulag came for this family, if all the other families would have fought back, they would have thought twice about coming after more. But instead, everybody was told just to be a good sheep. That's why we have a Second Amendment in our Constitution. That's why. And finally, the Islamic Republic in Iran. The Shah was a bad character. Some of you are old enough to remember the hostage crisis in 1979. That was just the beginning. The regime of Ayatollah in the Islamic Republic. It'll play a huge part, I believe, in the Gog-Magog War. And they went from bad to worse. I should have put on here as well, Iraq. Saddam Hussein, Libya, what's his name? Gaddafi. They were bad guys. It's much worse there now than it was then. Anybody who's actually over there, been over there, or is over there will tell you that. But it's all sizing up for the end times. And Israel, which is the northern kingdom, was wicked, rebellious, and delusional. And that's why they would say, what would a king do for us? Verse 4. If you're there, are you there? Hosea 10? Read verse 4 with me. They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. So the north was a nation of habitual liars, perjurers, and fakes. Kind of like our FBI. Hey man, I'm just telling you, as you read this, all you have to do is look at what's going on in America today. It's parallel. The people who are called the deep state, people like John Brennan, former heads of the CIA, and former heads of the FBI like Jim Comey, and all these people, they're liars, perjurers. And that's exactly what was happening in Israel. The leaders in Israel were liars, perjurers. That's what it says when they falsely and making a covenant. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and help me God. So help you God, you're going to hell. Bunch of lying, Christ-rejecting fools. Just they'll lie and lie and lie. And that's what was going on in Israel. That's why I said, sound familiar? This is J. Vernon McGee. He says, quote, man is a pretty talkative animal. There is no monkey in a tree that does more chattering than man does. Talk, 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 talk. Reams and reams of printed material, and about 99.44% of all of it is not worth listening to. It would be better if most of it had never been said. Yet people are being paid fortunes for what they say and for what they write. Out of it all, you hear practically nothing said about bringing people back to God, about a return to God and to the Word of God, and about looking to Christ as Savior, end quote. You know what I think is amazing? I think Donald Trump has done more in calling people back to the Bible and back to God than most Christian preachers. Everybody wants to talk about how 10, 20 years ago he divorced a woman and this and that. Hey man, what are you doing now? I can only see what I see now. And right now, Donald Trump's doing more to call people back to God and the Bible than most preachers. Isn't that something? God warns that judgment will spring up all around like weeds. That's what hemlock is, by the way. Some of you have read Shakespeare, you know it's a poison, but it's just a weed that can be used to poison people. And in places, it grows all over the place. You can find it. And so verse 5 says, the inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth-Aven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. The oblivious, lost Israelites focused on idolatrous competition between Beth-Aven and Samaria, spelled without an A there. Now, what's that like? That's like all these mega churches. All these mega churches, they do nothing to preach the gospel. They preach a gospel without repentance. They don't call sinners to repent. They don't preach the death, burial, and resurrection. You listen to Joel Osteen, he says, you want to be saved, say this little prayer. And he doesn't say anything about the death, burial, and resurrection and how you need to repent toward God with faith in that gospel. He just says, say this little prayer. Show me in the Bible where we're told to say a prayer to be saved. It's not in there. You know why people do that? Because they're doing this. They're salesmen and they're trying to hook you in. So you say a little prayer and say you're saved. The Bible still says if you haven't repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for your sins and shed His blood and paid for your sins, was buried and rose again, you are still lost. You can pray till you're blue in the face. You can be baptized till you drown. You will still go to hell unless you have been saved. Well, that's what's going on in the big churches today. And what do? They spend all their time trying to outdo each other and feeding people's egos and their materialistic desires in order to get them in the church. Oh, we've got a small group for everything. And we go on whitewater rafting trips and we have camps and we got Hey, we've got Bible study. Twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday. And boy, you ought to see them knocking the door down to get in here. They're not. Why? Because that's the generation we're dealing with. And that's the generation we're dealing with in Hosea. Bunch of materialistic, carnal people. They still played religion. They still went to church. And God said it made him sick. The glory of God departed and left Samaria desolate. And don't just read this in the Bible and think, oh yeah, it must have been terrible. You can see it today. This is a picture of Jeroboam's high place right here. That's the actual place. It's been nothing but a pile of rocks since, well, it's about 2,700 years now. God's Word is true. And you can look all over the globe and see His fingerprints. I don't believe in God. You are an idiot. You have to be beyond stupid to look at this book and look at your planet. You can just take a plane and fly places and see where God said, this is where this happened, and I'm going to make sure there's nothing left but a pile of rocks. And then when you go there, what do you see? A pile of rocks. You can go to the Temple Mount. There's no reason for that mount to not be filled up with religion. And all you got is one little Dome of the Rock thing from the Islam. It looks like a pimple. And all around you see nothing but those rocks that Titus the general and his Roman soldiers turned over just like Jesus predicted. He said, not one stone will be left unturned. You can still go there today, and you don't even have to fly there. You can just go on the internet and look at it. You can see pictures, or you can see live streams. God's Word is true, and it's proven over and over. And right there's another example. Jeroboam's high place. At one time, that was an intricate, beautiful place with a guy all robed up, and they thought they were something else. You know where they are right now? Right now, they're burning in hell. Right now. Why can't people get this? Why can't people get it? And he's left that as a testimony. It's amazing. So verse 6 says, it shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jerob. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. So as I said, this happened after 720 B.C., as you look, we've given this, shown this chart, and we put it on the website so you can download it. Hosea's ministry went right up to about 720 B.C. And after that, Assyria came in and just wiped all this stuff out because they would not hear the Word of God and repent. So we close with verse 7 and 8. Read that with me. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. See, that is exactly what they're about to say after the rapture, during the tribulation, when the Antichrist makes everybody take a mark or lose their life, and then the world follows after Antichrist, and God is going to pour out His wrath, and they are still not going to repent. And they'll just say, kill me! Just like this, cover us to the mountains, to the hills, fall on us. They won't repent, but they're going to call on death. Why not repent? I think of these people, you know, the suicide rate right now is skyrocketing. And you know, very few of them, there might be some Christians who commit suicide. I always tell everybody this. You can go out of your head and do things that you'll be ashamed of, and when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be there. It'll be reckoned with. You leave bad testimony and ripples that will go on. But a real Christian in the right mind doesn't think about suicide. And what you have today is a suicide rate skyrocketing. Why? Because they are so full of themselves. You hear people give all these, oh, they lack self-esteem. You are a sucker. They don't lack self-esteem. They're so full of themselves, they can't think of anyone but themselves. Me, 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 me. You know what that'll do? Drive you crazy to the point you'll blow your head off. If you will die to self and be filled with the Holy Spirit and no longer is about you, you won't kill yourself. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water, and they would rather die than repent. Think of that. They'd rather die than repent. I was the opposite. 1988, under severe conviction, I studied it. I wasn't one of these who just went to the church and, you know, the hair on my head, back of my neck stood up. And I thought, oh, I got to get saved because I feel something. It wasn't like that. I looked at the actual biblical truth of Jesus Christ and whether or not He was the Messiah, whether or not He truly was crucified, buried, and rose again, whether or not He ascended to heaven and promised to come back and receive us unto Himself. And I became convinced by the Bible itself, then also had it kind of helped out with information outside of the Bible by Josh McDowell's book, More Than a Carpenter, and a couple other resources that slipped my mind right now. I was so sure, but yet I still wasn't sure I wanted to be saved. Why? Because there's pleasure in sin for a season. I always laugh at these guys get up and say, sin is horrible. Sin is terrible. You start to sin, you'll hate it. I was like, I know better. That's not the reason to get saved. The reason to get saved is you're a sinner, and if you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. Jesus died and paid for those sins. If you don't turn to Him and receive His forgiveness, you're doomed. You're damned forever. And that's what I faced. And I actually thought about it. I thought, you know, I could just blow my head off right now. I thought, wait a minute. That's not really reasonable. Why not just die to myself and live my life for Jesus? Now, and I thought of that term. I could either blow my head off, and I had the gun, or I could die to self and just let Jesus have whatever He could take, what good He could do with this clay vessel, as we say. So you know the choice I made? I'm going to see how many of you listen by saying I died. I did die. I died to myself. I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by believing that He had died and paid for my sins. His Spirit came into me. I wasn't perfect, and I'm still not perfect, but I have surrendered to His truth, and my attitude has been, but I have to do this every day. Every day I wake up and say, I'm dead to myself, Lord. Take me and use me. Do what You can.